wishing all Radio Aryan listeners a happy Christmas and a diversity-free new year.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 14th of December 2018 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, the race to the bottom continues, particularly in the church, particularly the very people that should be standing up for morals and the values of Britain, the values of white people. And far too often they seem to be right at the forefront of degeneracy, calling for more immigrants to come into the country. I've no doubt that as we've got Christmas coming up, we'll have the Archbishop of Canterbury reminding us that Jesus was a refugee once, because his family took him to Egypt a couple of hundred miles in the other direction, and another part of the Roman Empire, hardly the equivalent of a different race coming all the way over to Britain from Africa, or a different race coming all the way over for, and a different religion coming all the way over from Syria to Europe. Both Judea and Egypt were Roman provinces with a majority of white people in them, and also plenty of mixed race people in them as well. It's hardly an equivalent to say that a family of three people that went to another Roman country is the same as millions of non-whites invading Europe. But that's not the story that I really want to get into today. Today's one concerns transgenders, something that you really would think that the church had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with, but you would be completely wrong in thinking that. And this isn't some fringe part of the Church of England. It isn't some fringe part of the Anglican movement, the ecumenicals or anything like that. This is the actual official Church of England. New Church of England guidance instructs parishes on how they should hold celebratory ceremonies to mark a person's transition to the opposite sex. And we've really heard it all now, haven't we? The church is going to celebrate the fact that somebody has cut their penis off. Somebody has willingly wounded themselves and will have that wound for the rest of their lives to remind them that they cut their penis off. And the church wants people to celebrate that. Approved by the House of Bishops on Monday night, the pastoral guidance advises clergy to be sensitive and creative in incorporating the affirmation of baptismal faith into church services which celebrate individuals embracing a new sexual identity. So they're not just going to be celebrating this in church, they're going to be tacking it on to the baptism ceremony. The Church of England welcomes and encourages the unconditional affirmation of trans people, equally with all people, within the body of Christ, and rejoices in the diversity of that body into which all Christians have been baptized by one Spirit, asserts a statement published by the Church on Tuesday. Who do the Church think they are to turn Christian teaching on its head like this? Do they no longer have to follow what the Bible says? If you look at the Bible, there are at least 21 different sections that are against homosexuality. There's one particular section which is against transgenders. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. And reading from the King James Version, that says, "He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." Now that's pretty explicit. It's saying they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And you've got the Church of England issuing guidance that it should be celebrated when somebody does that. And this follows on the back of them approving of homosexual marriage, which is basically saying that anal sex is the same as the creation of a child. It's the same as the consummation of the marriage between a man and a woman. Anal sex is now the same. That's what it means when you say gay marriage is the equivalent of normal marriage, when obviously it's not. It's actually a perverse reversal of a sacred act of creating a child. You're not going to be able to create a child by putting your life-creating member into a sewer pipe. All you're likely to do there is cause disease and damage. And these people that do this are damaged people. They should not be celebrated. They should not have any place in the church. The fact that they do have a place in the church just tells us that the church is no longer the church. The real church are the real Christians, the real body of Christ, that refuse to go along with this. I mean, let's just have a look at some of the verses about sodomy. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. "If a man also lies with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." And what that is saying is that the state needs to execute people that are caught buggering one another. And the responsibility for doing that is on the state. And the state has to do that. And the payment for killing a man goes to the people that did the buggery. That's what it means when it says their blood shall be upon them. It means the payment for that killing will be paid by the sodomites. Obviously, we have fallen so far from perfection today that that's not possible. We couldn't do that. I'm not calling for sodomites to be executed. But Christians should remember that that is the punishment that God spoke. And if you believe that God is God, then he cannot lie. And that is the punishment for it. And what that does is it shows us how far off course our governments are and how far off course our churches are to be preaching the opposite of this. And as I've said before, this doesn't mean that there would be lots of people that are killed. If you think that homosexuals make up about 1% of the population, or they did before the state decided to start advertising it and promoting it to children, they used to only make up 1% of the population. And according to Hebrew law, you needed to have 3 witnesses for an act like this. So 3 people would have had to catch a homosexual in the act buggering somebody else, or that homosexual would have had to proposition 3 straight men before they would be executed. So the chances are you probably wouldn't have had anybody executed for this, but they wouldn't have been able to flaunt this in public. They wouldn't have been able to recruit others. They wouldn't have been able to be around kids and abuse them. And this whole idea of promoting homosexuality, it's because we've got such a problem with pedophilia. And instead of doing what we can to stop pedophilia, i.e. by banning homosexuality, what they've done is they've legalized the results of pedophilia. In the majority of cases, if a young boy is abused when he is a boy, then when he grows up, he's likely to become a homosexual. Most homosexuals were abused when they were children. So there is obviously a link with that. And this promotion of homosexuality is basically a legalizing of the results of pedophilia. Instead of doing something to prevent the pedophilia, they've legalized the results of it, which flies in the face of all Christian teaching. And unless you think Well, that's just in the Old Testament, because the church erroneously teaches that the New Testament supersedes the Old. It doesn't. It's a continuation of the Old. That's why there isn't any talk of how the political state should be formed or any talk about laws in the New Testament, because that was already dealt with in the Old Testament. Let's have a look at what it says in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And what that means there, where it says fornicators, fornication is unlawful sex. Unlawful sex can be with another race, or it can be with your own gender. Where it says nor adulterers, obviously that is when you're breaking your vows. Or it can mean adulteration of the blood. Don't forget the original meaning of the term to adulterate. You have to be adulterating something. So what are the adulterers adulterating? They're adulterating their blood by having sex with another race. It's quite open there that it says nor effeminate. That obviously means men that are effeminate, which is exactly what a transsexual is. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And that's obviously men that are abusing themselves with men. I mean, you cannot argue that that is saying anything different other than these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. What are the Church of England doing celebrating this and claiming that they are all a part of the body of Christ? Finally here, we can take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So what that is saying there is because they changed the truth of God into a lie, their punishment was that they would find themselves given up unto these vile affections. It is saying that homosexuality is a punishment from God. It's not a celebration. It's not something that we should be celebrating. Anybody that is a true Christian should remove themselves from these churches. Or failing that, they should speak up about this. Challenge their church leaders who are feeding them these lies that they should be accepting of transgenderism. Transgender vicar, Dr. Reverend Tina Beardsley, as if it isn't bad enough that they've gone against St. Paul's teaching and made women into priests, we now have transgender priests as well. Transgender vicar Dr. Reverend Tina Beardsley hailed the move as a positive step, claiming that many families are affected nowadays. A family member, a friend, or a work colleague has undergone a transition, has mutilated themselves, basically. But the activist, whose social media activity revolves around the promotion of pro-LGBT causes, expressed disappointment over the church having stopped short of creating a whole new liturgy to mark transgender people's decision to change sex. When are they going to have a celebration of the Black Mass then in the church? When are they going to have a liturgy for people who have carried out murder? Or robbers, people that are good at robbing people. When are they going to have a liturgy for people that rape? I mean, all you can say about these these crimes that these people carry out is that they are crimes against themselves. They're crimes against their own bodies rather than crimes against other people. They're crimes against nature. They're not something that should be celebrated. It's something that is terrible to happen to somebody. It's a tragedy if somebody is confused about their gender and they need help to put themselves right. They don't need to be encouraged to mutilate themselves and cut their penis off. I mean, that is the worst thing that they could possibly do. And this is just common sense. How can people not see the truth of this? And how can Christians not see the truth of this? If they affirm that they have a faith in God and they have a faith in the Bible, then how can any of them tolerate this? The Bishop of Blackburn and Chair of the House of Bishops Delegation Committee, Julian Henderson, said, "We are absolutely clear that everyone is made in the image of God and that all should find a welcome in their parish church." And he obviously cannot see the contradiction in what he has just said there. If everybody is made in the image of God, then what are these people doing chopping off parts of that image? And how can they condone the chopping off of parts of that image? This new guidance provides an opportunity rooted in Scripture to enable trans people who have come to Christ as the way, the truth, and the life to mark their transition in the presence of their church family, which is the body of Christ, he said. How can they say that there is any guidance in Scripture that tolerates this, that encourages this? As we've just seen, there are over 21 verses explicitly against it in the Old and the New Testament, and the New Testament tells us that it's a punishment. However, Andrea Minicello Williams, a lay member of the General Synod, blasted the new guidance for continuing the Church of England's devastating trajectory towards an outright denial of God and his word. Thank you, Andrea Minicello Williams. And I believe the General Synod is actually made up of the members of the church. So this is coming down right from the top. This is corruption right at the top of the church. The Christian Concern chief said in a statement, "The point of baptism is to identify a person with Jesus as they begin a life of following him. Using an affirmation of baptism to celebrate a gender transition turns this upside down by encouraging people to follow their own feelings and live in identities contrary to how God created them." And that's just it. It's saying follow your feelings. Don't actually follow God's commandments. Don't actually follow God's word. Just follow your feelings and just tell everyone you're a Christian anyway, even though you don't actually obey the Christian laws. And the church will affirm that. And the church will back you up in that. The Bible, God's revealed and perfect word, does not recognize postmodern gender theory, Miss Minicello Williams pointed out, urging Church of England bishops to teach faithfully on this issue and for the clergy to speak with love, compassion, and truth. According to the evangelical organization GAFCON's Susie Leaf, 9 bishops on the House of Bishops Delegation Committee bypassed the Church of England's governing body as it oversaw production of the document. So the bishops actually bypassed the General Synod because they didn't want this to be up for debate by the actual members of the church. They just wanted to force this through. She told Premier Christian News, "The issue that we've got here is the repurposing of baptism liturgy. That is a major decision that the House of Bishops have made without the consultation of Synod, and that does not bode well for the future." And this is the communist way of doing things, isn't it? This is the European Union way of doing things, where you just get directives handed down from on high, and the democratic part of the organisation is just there to rubber stamp it, and they don't actually have a say in anything. The same as European Union MPs, they don't have a say in any of the laws or directives that come down from the EU Commission. And what we've got here is the same thing. We've got the bishops just handing down these orders that aren't based on anything in the Bible and that the synod don't have a say in. And that's exactly the same as communism, where the orders were just handed down from the top, and nobody else was allowed to have a say in it. Earlier this year, amidst fierce debate over proposals to remove barriers to legally changing gender, the church came out in favour of allowing people to self-identify as the opposite sex, a move critics warn would put women at risk by giving men access to female-only spaces, including changing rooms, prisons, and rape crisis centres. So what the church are saying there is, this isn't even a medical issue. This isn't an issue that needs to be confirmed by a doctor that there is gender dysphoria. Anybody can just say they're a different gender on every day of the week. They can just switch genders and the church will back them up on that. The church will go along with that. So you could have somebody claiming to be a male vicar one day and claiming to be a female vicar the other day. In the modern day churches, the establishment churches are right at the front of pushing this degeneracy, the New World Order degeneracy, when they are the very ones that should be fighting against it. The Reverend Dr. Malcolm Brown, Church of England Director of Mission and Public Affairs, said there was no settled view about precisely which aspects of the legal sex change process are necessary within the church, but stated, "We can say with some confidence that excessive bureaucracy is neither welcoming nor affirming of transgender people in relation to the structures of the law and society at large." I am really shocked at this, although it is to be expected. We do know how degenerate the world is around us, but you would imagine that the church would say, well, we're not having anything to do with transgenders. Surely the church has an exemption from that. When homosexual marriage came in, they said, well, the church is exempt. The church will not be forced to go along with homosexual marriage. They will not be forced to marry homosexuals in the church, and they won't have to affirm all of this. And yet here we have the church itself making a point of saying that they are going to affirm that men that have willingly mutilated themselves are now going to be treated as women, which goes directly against all Christian teaching. Well, let's move on to the next story that I've got for us today. And this one comes from Africa. And this is in response to people that were saying that I was a little bit harsh on the two Somalian children that tried to eat a white baby. You remember there was one Somalian child, I think one was 3 and one was 6. And there was a 16-month-old white baby that they bit 18 chunks out of. And when the mother of the white baby tried to rescue the white baby, the blood was running down the faces of these Negro children. And they were laughing. This was obviously something that came natural to them. And when she spoke to the mother of the Negroes about it, the mother said, oh, that's just what kids do. That's just what kids do. And I pointed out that there is a long history of cannibalism in Africa and that people should believe what this Negro mother said. This is just what kids do. It just comes natural to Somalians. And people said, well, this is shocking. You shouldn't be saying this, Sven, they're not all cannibals. Well, I'm not saying they are all cannibals, but what I'm saying is that there is a propensity to do that in the Negro race, and this didn't just happen 150 years ago. This is happening today. This is happening right now. Two cannibals, one of which was found carrying a bag with a human hand and a leg inside, have been jailed for life in South Africa. One of the cannibals told officers when he turned himself into police that he was tired of eating human flesh. He'd obviously been eating so much of it, he just thought he'd hand himself in and he was fed up of eating it. I mean, he must have eaten a lot of human flesh to claim to be bored of eating it. Nino Mubata, 33, and Lungisani Mugabani, 32, were jailed for life today for the murder of Zanele Hlatshwayo. Mbata, said to be a traditional healer, was arrested after handing himself in at a police station in Estcourt, a town in KwaZulu-Natal province last year. He was carrying a bag containing a human leg and a hand, telling officers that he was tired of eating human flesh. Police refused to believe his claims until he took officers to a house where more body parts were found. Sitting at the Pietermaritzburg High Court, Judge Peter Olson said the pair were guilty of the most heinous crime, the Witness newspaper said. The court heard that Miss Hlatshwayo had been beheaded by Umvata, who, with the help of Magabani, removed her internal organs, hands and feet in order to gain good luck through muti, a term for traditional medicine, in parts of southern Africa. I'll just stop there. Traditional medicine. This is the traditional medicine in Africa, is to eat other Africans. What is the traditional medicine in white countries? It's to use herbs, maybe to use leeches. But the idea of actually eating other humans is completely alien to white people. It's not a part of our natural diet. And quite clearly, it is for Negroes. This just highlights the difference between the two races. Back to the article. Mbata was said to have instructed Magubani to eat the 24-year-old woman's flesh for good luck, before claiming he was forced into cannibalism. At earlier hearings in Estcourt, angry residents gathered outside the courthouse to protest against the grisly murder. South Africa has no direct law against cannibalism, but mutilating a corpse and being in possession of human tissue are criminal offences. A third man was acquitted today, with seven people initially arrested during the investigation. A fourth man arrested and charged, Sitembiso Shitol, 31, died in prison after apparently killing himself while awaiting trial. The trio of men were arrested after Umbata went to police and more remains were found in a nearby house, leading to the discovery of a woman's mutilated body. She was also said to have been raped. After a meeting was held in the village of Ezigudluwini, home to just 971 people, it actually emerged that almost a third of the population had been digging up graves or eating residents. A third of this town had been doing this. This isn't a rare occurrence. This isn't something that doesn't happen. This isn't an anomaly. A third of the people in the town had been digging up graves and eating residents. In the aftermath of the arrests, villagers gathered in the community hall allegedly admitted to tasting human flesh. Two of the men initially arrested were said to be witch doctors or traditional healers, and a third was on parole from jail at the time of the killing. Community members were also said to have dug up graves under the orders of Mbata to give him the bones. When police were investigating, officers discovered eight ears in a pot, local councillor Mutembini Majola told the media. People with albinism in some African countries are particularly at risk of muti killings due to the belief held by some that their body parts impart power and health to those who eat them. A man in Durban was recently found with a human head in his backpack last July, as he was thought to be attempting to sell the head to a witch doctor. One thing it doesn't actually make clear in this article is where the villagers are protesting. Were they protesting the fact that the witch doctor was in prison and they wanted to continue eating human flesh, or were they protesting that they wanted him punished? It doesn't actually make it clear. I would suggest that they were probably protesting that the guy had actually been arrested. They were obviously quite happy to be eating human flesh and digging up these graves, and the other 300 people that were doing this, they haven't been prosecuted. They haven't been prosecuted. And as it says, there's no actual law against cannibalism in South Africa, and that's certainly not because it would never occur to them to eat other human beings. It's quite clearly part of their diet. It's part of their tradition. And it's now part of Britain. Now that we have imported these creatures into our countries, I can recall cases where they've found body parts that have been gnawed upon. The same has happened in Italy. The white girl that was recently killed over there, the one that set Luca Triani off when he shot a gun into a crowd of migrants, the body that was found of this white girl, the bones had been gnawed. The Africans had been eating her flesh. These creatures have no place being in our countries. They are just a danger to us. And there is no way that the government can pretend that they don't know this. The evidence for it is everywhere. You can't say that it's a new thing. We've only just discovered that Negroes eat other Negroes. This has been going on for centuries. Every year you will find reports of them eating one another somewhere. Whether that's in white countries now or whether it's in Africa. And if we want to stop it, well, there is only one way to stop it, and that is to deport them. And if you want to avoid it happening to you, make sure that you don't have anything to do with them at all. And on that cheery note, I think we've come to the end of the podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.